This summer, I'm doing lots of odd jobs. With all the money I make, I buy United States savings stamps at the post office. Gee, I'll have another savings bond by the time school opens again.
This is Milton Cross inviting you to hear the new Treasury Salute, presented on more than 800 American radio stations and featuring Robert Waldrop, author and commentator, in a transcribed story from the American Notebook, Mr. Whistlebritches. And now, Robert Waldrop and our Treasury Salute story, Mr. Whistlebritches.
Outside of Christmas, no season seems to belong so entirely to children as the summertime. For it's in this season of the year that the topmost branches of the tallest trees, the deepest depths of the old swimming hole, and the absconded fruits of orchard and garden belong to them. And this being summer, naturally we look back to those summers of long ago, and to a barefoot boy with cheek of tan that I knew, very much like the boys you once knew. This boy's name was Whistlebritches. My mother called him Freddy, but his father had nicknamed him Whistlebritches, because to tell you the truth, those baggy little corduroy pants he used to wear did whistle as he ran about, and he ran about a good deal. In fact, he ran away a good deal, in spite of the high wire fence that we built around the yard to keep him at home. I think the fatal mistake was when we gave him a wheelbarrow just his size to play with. Now, wheelbarrows have wheels, and wheels go around, and when they go around, they're going someplace, especially if a little boy is propelling them. And so one rainy day, my mother went to look for Freddy, who was supposed to be playing out on the porch. But Freddy was neither on the porch nor in the yard.
Freddy! Freddy! Where are you? Freddy!
Dad was sitting in the kitchen with his wet feet propped up by the stove to dry out. He'd been out looking over the barns. And he was reading the paper when Mother came rushing in.
Roy! Roy, where do you suppose that little rascal has gone? I'll be blessed if he's anywhere around.
Doesn't he answer?
No, I've called him and called him, and it's pouring down rain, too.
Yeah, I'll go look for him. Just getting my feet dry, too.
Don't switch him now when you find him. Just you bring him home to me. I'll do the switching.
That depends on how far I have to go for him and how wet I get.
Well, put your raincoat on now. I don't want both of you catching pneumonia.
Don't worry now, Mother. I'll find him. He can't have gone far.
But Father had figured without the wheelbarrow, as well as having miscalculated the boldness of Mr. Whistlebritches himself. A search of the back pastures brought to light no traces of our truant, and Father returned empty-handed and unmistakably annoyed. In fact, he was on the point of getting downright mad. I don't think he was particularly worried. He was just mad at having to go out into the rain after he'd got his feet dry. It was Mother, much more expert sleuth that she was, who discovered that the wheelbarrow was also missing, and who put on her garden hat and went out in the rain to trace the prints of the wheel. And sure enough, his telltale footprints, too, in the wet mud. She followed them as far as the county road, and from there she dispatched Father in frantic haste. Whistlebritches turned up miles down the road, heading blithely for town, oblivious of the rain, drenched to the skin. So bundled into the back of the wagon, wheelbarrow and all, he was brought home and popped into a hot bath and fenced to bed. He didn't get pneumonia, but he did catch a mighty bad cold. And for days, we all tiptoed around the house.
How is the young man?
Well, he still has a fever, but his breathing is easier. I just gave him another dose of his medicine.
Well, I should have warmed the backside of his breeches for him. I'll bet if I had, he wouldn't have caught such a cold. And I'll tend to him when he gets up.
Yes, but Father never did. Whistle Britches was soon up and out of doors again, pushing his ridiculous little wheelbarrow from one end of the farm to the other. And we finally tore the fence down. It was utterly useless. I shall never forget when Halloween came and some neighbors paid us a visit in the spirit of the occasion. We were all sitting by the fire in the living room, Dad reading one of his favorite stories by Stuart Edward White, Mother embroidering a tablecloth she was going to give to one of my aunts for Christmas, and I lost in the Americanization of Edward Bach. Whistle Britches was playing on the floor at our feet, it being not yet his bedtime, when a knock came at our door. I went to open it, and in trooped the most frightening procession Mr. Whistle Britches had ever seen.
What in the world is that?
Why, it's Halloween, Mother.
It's those Thomas kids. That's who it is. I'd recognize Huey there, sheet or no sheet.
Well, don't let them come in here. They'll scare Freddy half to death. I'll never get him to sleep tonight.
But Whistle Britches just sat on his heels on the floor, wide-eyed and dumbstruck, taking it all in. Not until they had left by the same door through which they had entered did he speak. He was old enough now to talk a blue streak when he wanted to. But all he said as I closed the door behind them was...
Halloweens?
Yes, dear. Those were Halloweens. Don't let them scare you.
Those old Halloweens come through that right old door.
And then there were the little red boots that he got for Christmas. They replaced the wheelbarrow in his affections. He wore them winter and summer. In fact, he had them on the day Dixie, one of our workhorses, kicked him. It was in the full heat of summer, and I had managed to slip out of the house before my mother could think of some of the chores she wanted me to do that day, and I'd headed for the hills. But I hadn't gone much beyond the pig pens when I heard Mr. Whistle Britches following me just as fast as his short little legs could carry him. Hey, what are you up to? Following me?
I want to go too.
Well, you can't go. I'm going up to Castle Hill. It's too far for a little runt like you. Mother'll be looking for you. You go on back to the house now.
I don't want. I want to go with you.
Well, you can't go. You want to get a switching? That's what you'll get if you don't go back home now. Go on.
I want to go with you.
And there I left him, standing in the middle of the dusty road with his little red boots on, his fists in his eyes, crying his heart out. I hurried on so as to get as much distance between us as possible and managed to leave him behind. It was hours later, when I had climbed to the top of Castle Hill and was on my way home for supper, that I found him in the back pastures, chasing the cows and horses, stumbling as he ran over the rocks in his red boots. He didn't see me, but I saw him when he ran up behind poor old Dixie. Really a gentle mare, but heavens knows how long Mr. Whistle Britches had been tormenting her. In the only means of self-defense she knew, Dixie struck out with her right hind leg, and I saw her strike the boy full in the face and saw him fall. He lay motionless on the grass, and I, terror-stricken, ran across the pasture to him, fully expecting to find him dead. But just as I came up to him, he roused, pulled himself to his feet, gave one of his boots a tug, and then he saw me. Providence had been on his side. If he had happened to be standing another fraction of an inch closer when the horse struck at him, he would have gotten the full force of the kick, and it could easily have killed him. Whistle Britches had missed death by a hair's breadth. There must be a special providence that looks after little boys like Whistle Britches. They can get into and out of more trouble and predicaments than it would seem humanly possible. But for the most part, they seem to come through it all unscathed. Their lucky star is nearly always over them, by day as by night. Their good fairy never leaves them. It must take an awfully lot of good fairies to look out for all the Whistle Britches there are in this country. The heavens must be full of more stars than mortal eye has ever seen to shine upon so many little barefoot boys and keep them out of harm's way. My little Whistle Britches brother has grown up now to man's estate, but there are millions of others just like him, trudging down the county roads in the rain with their little wheelbarrows before them, their little red boots on. There are millions of wide-eyed wanderers watching those old Halloweens coming through that right old door, and blessings on them. They are these who stand to take our places. They shall inherit this earth, for they are the world of tomorrow. Like my own little hero of this tale, who fought at Okinawa and through the Battle of the Coral Sea, these will also inherit the battles for a better world. With all our tenderness and love, if you feel about your Mr. Whistle Britches as I do about mine, we must do all we can to make these battles easier, to make this world wider and more full of wisdom for them. This is summertime. Their time, as no other time but Christmas, belongs to them. Let it always be summertime here. For down our dusty county roads, over our pastures and fields they come. Wheelbarrows, red boots, whistling britches and all, trudging their innocent ways into all those future chapters of our American notebook.
Friends, this is Milton Cross again. There probably is a Mr. Whistlebritches in your family, a little rascal who causes you no end of work and worry, but whom you love better than life itself. What with trying to keep his eternally dirty face clean, his sticky fingers off the upholstery, you probably haven't noticed lately how Mr. Whistlebritches is growing up. And that's why I want to remind you that right now is none too soon for you to be planning for your Mr. Whistlebritches' future. Whether he'll want to go to college, take special courses in some trade, study music or art or whatever, I know you'll want to have the money to back those desires. And here's the way you can do it. Start today to put just as much money as you can into United States savings bonds. Yes, United States savings bonds. They pay you back $4 for every $3 you invest in just 10 years, and they're safe, too. They are backed by your government. There's only one way to have money when you need it, and that's to save it now. And the best way is to invest it regularly every payday in United States savings bonds. Then when Mr. Whistlebritches comes of age, you'll have the cash ready and waiting to back his future.
Our next Treasury Salute story from the American Notebook will be Dear Friend and Gentle Heart. I'm sure you'll enjoy it, so join us, won't you? Until then, this is Robert Waldrop speaking. Thank you for listening.
This transcribed Treasury Salute was written and narrated by Robert Waldrop and directed by William S. Rainey. The music was under the direction of Mark Warnow. This is Milton Cross reminding you that the best way in the world to back your future is to keep buying and holding United States savings bonds.